Dearly beloved, we have come into the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him, let us kneel and bow down before him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
lesson from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who have nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. And look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people have the impression that Christianity is a doom and gloom philosophy, a bunch of rules about things you can't or shouldn't do. Of course, we have the Ten Commandments, but we don't regard them as a burden, but as God's instructions for what is right. Yet even to Christians, those commandments bring judgment on our guilty consciences because we have broken each and every one of them. Another aspect of Christianity is an understanding that this world will not last forever. There have been countless predictions among Christians and non-Christians concerning the date of the end of the world, the most recent being a movie supposedly based on the date of the Mayan calendar. God simply laughs at man's foibles. When we turn away from God, our eyes become clouded and we lose all perspective. God has not revealed to us and will not reveal to us when the world will end, when Judgment Day will be. Perhaps for two reasons. He wants us not to be frightened, but to live in hope and expectation of heaven. And also, he doesn't want us to be forgetful or ignorant of Judgment Day and delay our preparations. We should always be preparing and prepared. The message of our text is to shake us out of our sleepiness or laziness and to urge us now to be ready for the Lord's return. We don't know when Jesus will return to this earth, but we know the signs of his coming, and they have all been fulfilled. Wars, rumors of wars, storms, violence, corruption of mankind. Each generation has certain reminders. In recent years, we can think of wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia. For our parents or grandparents, it was Vietnam, Korea, World War I, or World War II. We are already living in the Great Tribulation, as Jesus calls that time, a time such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And St. Paul describes the last times like this: for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Does it sound familiar? And Jesus also warns us about false Christs. They are everywhere. How many false religions have come and gone throughout the history of the world? And how many new ones arise with each generation? ancient Egypt, ancient Mayans, Greek and Roman mythology, the Norse gods, and some even have the veneer of Christianity, but teach something completely different. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, voodoo. Many religions talk about respecting Jesus, but they do not believe that he is God. And if he isn't God, his death cannot save us. It's easy to see those people outside ourselves who are immoral or who follow false ideas about God. But we should first look at our own heart. Are we any better? Perhaps we are even worse because we know the right things and still give in to sins of hatred and pride, even blasphemy and idolatry. We all at times put ourselves ahead of God, breaking the first and most comprehensive commandment, "You shall have no other gods." Perhaps we don't worship idols, don't belong to a false religion, but we are tempted, just like Adam and Eve, to make ourselves into gods. If we state those descriptions opposite of what St. Paul says, we see what God wants us to be. He wants people to be loving to others, generous with money, humble, God-fearing, obedient to parents, thankful, holy, loving, forgiving, speaking well of others, having self-control, gentle, approving of good, loyal, cooperative, lovers of God rather than lovers of pleasure. This should describe the redeemed children of God. But we are, at the same time, saint and sinner. During our earthly life, we carry with us that old Adam who only wants to sin. We struggle against our selfish desires in a world where self is the most important god of all. And that is why we pray all the more fervently in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." And God has forgiven us. He does not tempt us beyond what we can bear, and he promises to deliver us from all evil through the death and resurrection of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, now we can look forward to his return to take us to eternal life in heaven. Then Judgment Day becomes for us not a threat or a terror or a fear, but a comfort and a joy and a happy anticipation. In the meantime, we prepare, just as we prepare for Christmas in the busy time of Advent, practicing, singing, studying, cooking, planning, working. In our faith, we also prepare for Judgment Day as our happy entrance into heaven by practicing our faith, singing God's praises, studying his word, preparing for that promised blessedness. We can't go back to take the things that we've left behind, and we won't want to. The things of this earth have a fading glory. We use them rightly when they prepare us for eternity, when they point and direct us to God alone, who is our Lord and King and Savior. The days and times in which we live are wicked, just as in the days of Noah, Jesus says. But he promises he will shorten those days for our sake, for the sake of those chosen by God to inherit heaven. And he will return soon to take us to that blessed place. In the midst of death, we are in life. In the midst of sin, we have Christ's holiness. In the midst of sadness, we have eternal and lasting joy. With that perspective, we can gladly say with the hymn writer, "Farewell, farewell to the world," when God in his good time calls us to our heavenly home. Judgment Day sounds frightening, but for those in Christ, it is better than Christmas and Easter and birthdays and weddings and all the happiest times we can imagine. For then and there, in heaven, our sinless life begins before the throne of God. Farewell, I gladly bid thee, false, evil world, farewell. Thy life is vain and sinful. With thee I would not dwell. I long to be in heaven, in that untroubled sphere, where they will be rewarded who served their God while here. God grant it to each of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.